John chapter 4. We're going to read one verse of Scripture there, and we're going to Revelation chapter 2. Now, this is a message God has given me, I believe, for this church. Really believe that. This week throughout prayer and just been out here at the church studying, I feel God has given this to me for a reason. And God knows why. And so I would that you just give me your attention for a little bit this morning. And I believe this is a very necessary subject to preach on. Amen. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. When you get there, say amen. Now, not the book of John, but 1 John. Amen. Make sure you're at 1 John chapter 4, 19. Very small verse here, but it says a lot. 4:19 says this, "We love Him because He first loved us." We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Now notice that, then go to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to do a little more reading there, but you'll find a very similar term. Amen. Revelation 2, and when you're there, say amen. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, notice this, will I give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Notice in verse 4, he said this, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And then when I go back to the first verse that I read you, we love him because he first loved us. I'm preaching this morning on intimacy lost. Rekindling your love for Christ. Intimacy lost. Rekindling your love for Jesus Christ. I feel the presence of God here. I know there's times you know what you know. Just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power, your anointing. Lord, we're looking for you to help us. We're looking for you to touch us. We're looking for you to strengthen us in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Holy Ghost, to help us today. We're asking you for that anointing, Jesus, to visit us in this church. To recultivate that relationship that was true and fervent in the name of Jesus. Rekindle the embers that are on our heart, Lord. The love of Christ, Lord, that should be in every heart here today. And we love you with every bit of being that's in us today. We love you and give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Intimacy lost, rekindling your love for Jesus Christ. We know here in the book of Revelations, this is a letter that is written by the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. And you could really title this, and I'd like to teach it one day, on what Jesus thinks about the church. Amen. This is really Jesus Christ. We know that John has a vision of Jesus here in His totality. Eyes like fire, feet like brass. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. But boy, he gets a vision of Jesus that's real, that is powerful. And that is where Jesus is today, friend. If you're looking for Jesus on the cross, you can get over that by now. He's already got up from the grave. He's already accomplished the work. He's already led captivity captive. Right now, He's in His totality. He's at the right hand of the Father. I'm not a historian that's pointing back 2,000 years ago. I'm a born-again believer pointing to the right hand of the Father.
Now here we know that He's given us an analysis of the church here. And we know we don't have time to deal with all seven, but we can deal with the church of Ephesus this morning. Man, what a wonderful compliment that is given by the Lord Jesus Christ to this church of Ephesus. We will know that this is the mother church. You can find its inception in the book of Acts of how it started, what a revival they had. And we read here, we find that Jesus is talking to them. This is red letters here. He says, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, that thou hatest evil. We can tell here that Jesus Christ is looking at them. He is pleased with the fact that they labor for Him. He is pleased with the fact that they are patient and endure through trial and suffering. That He is appreciative of the fact that they hate evil. It can reveal false prophets. We can come to the conclusion about this church that it is a very zealous church. We can come to the conclusion that its members are mostly born again. They love teaching. They love preaching. They hated evil. They patiently endured affliction. They labored for the faith of Jesus Christ. And it all looks good. That is wonderful. What a wonderful report. But the gazing eyes of the King of Kings sees past all of the surface. He gets past of all of the ritual. He looks past at all the mechanics. It is an operating, wonderful church. But He sees the core. Now notice this, when Jesus gives us this diagnosis, it is an urgent and very vital thing. Many would think that's not that big of a deal. It is. It is vital. It is urgent. It is necessary to the place that Jesus says, unless you get it right, I'm going to come and take away your candle, your testimony, away from the other churches and among the world. Now notice this here today. He says, I have one thing against you. Thou hast left your first love.
Everybody hear me today. Because I know what God's told me to come here with. And whoever it's for, accept it. You need to rekindle the fire in your spirit. You need to rekindle the fire and the anointing and the seeking and the reading and the praying and the fervency that should be in the life of every believer. It's not enough to substitute it with mechanics. It's not enough to substitute it with ritual. It's not enough to substitute it with a smile on your face. There has to be an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be, friend. Hear me today. This was a very zealous church. But it had become mechanical. It had become orthodoxy. Their doctrinal and moral purity did not substitute for the love of Christ that certain ones in that church had forsaken. It had to be there. This is urgent. It is vital. Every person in this room must have a close and intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must. If you come to church and just try to operate, you're not going to make it. If you come to church and just try to enter into prayer, into worship, into fervency, and all this, it does not happen that way. It has to be an everyday thing in your life. You have to keep it cultivated. If not, you get discouraged. If not, you get burned out. If not, you begin to walk within the carnal means of your flesh and very little is accomplished. Look, I know it's a blessing. I know this church, we have given so much to missions, but we also have a community. We have a community. And I know we reach and I know God moves. Hear me. Talking to you from my heart because this is what God's doing with me on. I cannot become mechanical. I was praying here the other day and just felt the Holy Ghost come to me and visit me and dealt with Derek Jones and says, be careful. Do not become mechanical. Do not become used to my presence. Do not become used to my word to where there is not a love and a heart that's fervently wanting to work for Him. Hear me today. I'm just going to talk to you from my heart. When I first got saved, I had to learn a hard lesson. I first got saved and called to preach. You're talking about zealous. I had the zealousy. If I sat down and TBN came on, I'd call them up. Done it before. And I laid into a few people when I was wrong because I don't know who I was talking to. I had to group myself with certain preachers that told me what to preach. The standards that I lived and I adhered to. My first year or so of ministry, my first 2 years of ministry, I was extremely zealous.
if anybody wanted to live holiness, I did. And I've even made commitments then in that first part of my ministry that I still adhere to because it was commitments that I made out of jealousy. If I walked in a room when I first got saved and a TV was on, I would put my hands up like this and run through a room. I was jealous. Of course that was silly, I know. But I had that jealousy within me. I had such a burden. I wanted to do something for God. It was there. It was burning. And I went on to preach. And I would preach so hard. I would preach so legalistic at times that nobody, even in this room, if I seen it, I'd preach it.
Right.
And it got me in a few places, but not a lot.
Amen.
I was zealous. I remember one service. The person that was talking to me on the porch made the mistake, and we laugh about it now today because I was just jealous. But he told me something he did the night before he went to a truck pool. Shouldn't tell me that before I got in the pulpit. And out of ignorance, I just got up there. He's front pew, he just told me, and I shot at it. I was zealous. I was working hard. You know, fasting, you know, you fast 2 days, I do three. You call for three, I do five. I was just zealous to do something for God. Yes, I learned everything. I was not wrong about everything. But I'll tell you this, I got burnt out. I got to the place, and hear me from my heart, where I was trying to earn the affection of my Heavenly Father. I was trying to work in labor that He would look at me and say, well done. I was trying my best within my own self to run the extra mile, and I got burned out. I still wrestle with besetting sin. I still wrestle with mind battles. I still wrestle with so many different things, and I got burned out to the point I did not know what to do because the effects were not there. The souls were not being won. I wanted to see things done. I've seen some, but there was so much I wanted to get accomplished. I felt like I was going nowhere. And in a long story, there's a lot of times I wasn't. Until I read, I didn't fully understand what was happening to me. Until I came across a story one time by a man, a very well-known preacher named Carter Conlon. And he said he did something very similar to that. And at 37 years old, he said he was so jealous. He had preached so much. He had ran up and down the countryside trying to preach, trying to win souls, trying to do all these different things. He said at 37 years old, he had a physical breakdown. And he said there, going down a dirt road, he looked up to heaven and said, God, is this what I get for doing this? Is this what I get for fasting? Is this what I get for doing this? And going here and preaching and trying to reach this and reach that. He said, God, you need to give me an explanation. He said, God spoke to him that day and said, I love you. Hear me. I love you. All this that you're experiencing, Carter, is not me. It's you. I didn't tell you to run up and down the countryside. I didn't tell you to do this. I didn't tell you to go here. I didn't tell you to act like this. I did not tell you to do that. This is all you. I love you. Hear me today, friend, because I'm telling you, we are at the danger, and in this modern church world, where many people that adhere to holiness are getting burnt out. They're getting frustrated. And a lot of the times, hear me, friend, it's not because God put that yoke on you, it's because you put that yoke upon yourself. Do what God asked you to do. And that's why we can understand, friend. He said, sitting on that dirt road. And I came to the same experience early in my marriage. I came to the fact that I looked up to heaven in frustration. And I felt God say to me just as well, Derek Jones, I love you. I came to the understanding that I began to operate in the flesh. I began to operate trying to win His affection. I was trying to do so much work. I was trying to overload myself, trying to win and earn my Father's affection when it was already there. Hear me today, friend, because this is important. There's nothing you can do within yourself to earn His affection. We love Him because He first loved us. That is the reason that we love Him. Hear me today, friend. This is something we must understand. Understand, because Jesus will look at us and say, my yoke is easy and my burden light. But that is usually the opposite experience the New Testament believer accepts. Constant mind battles. Constant struggles. Constant besetting sin. Constant this. Constant that. And there His burden does not seem light to us. That is because if we're not careful, we will operate within our own love, trying to win His affection when we already have it through Jesus. Hear me today, friend, because this is important. When I come to the story of the prodigal son, all of you were there one day. In the hog pen of sin. You were there. You know what I'm talking about. You know what it was to come to the Father. And for the Father to love you. That prodigal son came home. And the Bible tells us the Father ran to meet him. I just picture the Father just a did-out sprint to him. And the Father would say something like this, "Son, I'm doing this because I love you. Look, I'm giving you this ring of authority because I love you. I'm forgiving you because I love you. I'm giving you this garment here because I love you. I'm killing the fatted calf because I love you. I'm striking up the band for a celebration. All because I love you. Not because you love me, but because I loved you. That's why I'm doing it. You didn't earn it. You forsook me. You didn't earn it. You left me. But I'm doing this because I love you. It's the only reason. But there's always, hear me, because this is what many people, and it's even in this church, if we're not careful, there's an elder brother that we relate to more than the prodigal son. It's almost belittling to us to admit that our love for Christ is cold at times. It is. We've all faced it. We're human. I know that. But many times if we're not careful, we relate more with the elder brother that lives in the Father's house but does not know how the Father feels about him. He's working for the Father, but he is not convinced that the Father loves him. Hear me, because this is important. Anytime you begin to operate in the spirit of the elder brother, which is religion, Christianity is not religion, maybe by the world's definition, this is life. There is no other direction. This is it. It's the only way to heaven. It's the only way to God. So hear me today, friend. If we're not careful, we'll begin to operate much like the older brother, and we're sitting there, we're laboring, we're doing everything we can, but we do not have a relationship with the Father. I just picture the older brother out there digging. Maybe dead will tell me he loves me today, because if I dig this deep enough, or far enough, or if I plant enough corn, or if I go the extra mile, maybe Dad will look at me today and say, I love you. Hear me today, friend. If you're here and just dressed the way you do, just hoping the Father says He loves you, you're going to get burnt out. You tell you why I adhere to holiness? It's because I love Him. But that's not the reason I do it alone. The reason I really do it is because He first loved me.
That's right.
So we could be like the older brother here, friend. Hear me. Just like religion, where we're working and we do not even know how the Father really feels about us. Two signs, hear me today. Two signs that the elder brother is present. The first sign is this: you don't appreciate the Father's love like you should. Elder brother's there every day. Every day he's with the Father. Every day he's eating with Him. Every day he's fellowship with Him. But I just see him coming to dinner and just sitting there. And you've got to make him smile. You've got to make him rejoice. You've got to make him look at his Father and say, I'll do this because I love you. Thank you for everything you do, Dad. Thank you. I'm going to do this. First sign that the elder brother is present is when he's not showing the proper affection or not appreciative of the affection of the Father. When you come to church, you ought to come to church and say, He first loved me. Song starts playing, He loved me. You ought understand what it was. He loved me. No, you don't understand. I was here. He came to me. He loved me. He loved me. Can you believe it? I want to tell. Listen over here. Guess what? He loved me. I did him wrong. I shunned his fellowship. I was in sin, shaping in iniquity. But he came to me. He loved me. Second sign of the older brother is this. He gets envious when somebody else is experiencing the Father's love.
Right. See the elder brother in the field? Been with his father the whole time the other one's been gone. I hear music. Why is there music? Who is rejoicing right now? I'm out here working. I'm sweating. I'm laboring. Who in the world has the audacity to be worshiping God? Where is he at? Oh, you hadn't heard? Mr. Elder Brother?
Your brother came home. Your dad went and embraced him. He forgave him. He is pouring out lavishing love on him right now. He is amazing. Come celebrate. I ain't going in there. Out here working all the time. Out here sweating and working. I'm out here. I'm praying and reading. They just got saved and they're rejoicing.
They just got saved and they had the audacity to shout during the music.
My word of God, I don't know what they think they are. I've been here, I've been praying and fasting for 30 years. Been through this sickness and this. I don't understand. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hear me. The Father looked at the elder brother and says, all that I have is done.
It's here. I've loved you all along. You just hadn't taken time to recognize it.
Yeah, right.
I wish somebody here today, just hear me. Take time. Look around. Nice church. Wonderful church family. Unified family. Have a good time in fellowship. Well, the world's out there. They need to be saved. We're saved. He loved us. That's exciting to me. He first loved us. Hear me today, friend, because this is very important. Because this is something the church in Ephesus was facing. They had what I would like to call the elder brother syndrome. Working and working. They gave. They hated evil. They loved the Word. They were working. They were doing all this work in His name without truly knowing how God felt about them. They were just operating mechanically. If we're not careful, this religious work ethic will drown out the loving voice of God. Yes, you're to be busy. This is not giving you a license to do what you want. But you must understand, He first loved us. And hear me, because this is important. If you do not overcome this, your relationship with God will be drowned of its joy. This is vital. And this will keep you serving Jesus Christ. When we learn to overcome that religious work ethic, trying to win His affection, I dress this way because I want His affection. I work this way because I want His affection. I abstain from this because I want His affection. I go to church because I'm trying to earn His affection. When you do that because you're just trying to win His affection, it's pointless. I've been there. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. But when you learn to do this because He first loved you. You hear me? When you learn to live as a Christian and do the fundamentals of a Christian, Bible reading ain't boring anymore. I'm reading my Bible because He first loved me and I want to know more about it. I dress this way. I try my best to live a dress modestly and live a good overcoming life, even though I know nobody's perfect. Hear me. But I do this because I know He likes that and He first loved me. That's why. That's why I do it. Hear me, friend, today, because if we learn to dress, work, abstain, go to church, or whatever you do for Christ, if you learn to do that because He first loved you, there's joy in it. There's joy. If I was to go to my wife, had some roses, she likes flowers. Brother Tom gave her some the other day, outdid me, man. Just he had some extra one there in the place. He said, I said, man, God. If I go to my wife and give her roses and said, I'm doing this because I have to. Amen. We're married and it's required. And look, everybody, look, I just, here, take them, put them where you want. It'd be pretty silly, wouldn't it? But if I'm walking through the store one day and I see some roses over there and I say, you know what, she loves me. She goes the extra mile for me many times. She does this for me. I love her. She loves me. I'm going to get these four because, you know what? I'm going to get these four because she loves me. And then the joy in that relationship. Hear me, Fred. If you look at God and say, I'm reading my Bible because I have to. You've ever done that? I've done it. I mean, I'm just being transparent. You've done it. We've done it. And it's all right. Listen, but if you get down and open your Bible and say, look, I'm reading this today because, you know, I know I need to. I promise you, Lord, when I first got saved, I'm going to do this many chapters a day.
Come on. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And it's a rough one today, man. I don't know if, no, you hear me. But when I open this Bible and say, God, You saved me.
Yes,
You love me.
Yeah.
I'm reading this because it tells me that God so loved the world. I'm reading this because it tells me that the only reason I'm able to love Him is because He first loved me. Kind of bright. I love reading the Bible now.
When I was a sinner, I hated it. I'm just being plain. I did. I remember I would get saved, not really born again. I'd cry some crocodile tears. And all of a sudden, I'd get and open my Bible. I'd read a chapter and say, I don't see what nobody gets out of this.
But I remember when I really got saved. I remember one morning laying there in bed. I lived on my own then. My roommate had forsaken me. I laid there. I looked over at the Bible. I said, I've got nothing to lose. Nothing. And before I knew it, I was through the whole book of 1 Samuel, and I said, I'm going to read 2 Samuel too. And I wasn't even called to preach it, and God gave me a message. Let me tell you why. I really had experienced His love. When I got down to pray, He wasn't born. I understand, I know we have dry prayer lives at times. I know you have to cultivate that. Hear me, I'm not hearkening. Listen. But when you learn to get down to pray, and pray out of the sincerity of God. The only reason I'm down here is because You first, You love me. And then you begin to look at yourself and say, God, I've got so many faults and errors at times, but the only reason I'm even able to love You is because You first loved me. The Spirit of God comes by and says, you're right. I did love you. I love you, Derek Jones. You say, Brother Derek, what if I had faults and failures? He loves you. He's here to help you. He doesn't want your relationship to become a ritual. He loves you. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. He's the bridegroom. He's coming back for us. He forgave me. Ephesus, you're doing a lot. You're giving a lot. But Ephesus, I love you. Ephesus, the church was about to endure some persecution at that time. The church was being persecuted as a whole. He was letting Ephesus know, look, understand, I see all that you're doing. It pleases me. I'm happy. I'm glad you hate evil. I'm glad you labor. I appreciate the patience and the endurance you have. I appreciate that. But Ephesus, can you stop for a few moments? Just quit and hear me. I'm your Savior. I love you. I felt to come here today and tell somebody, God's wanting to tell you this morning, I love you. I love you. My wife was gone all day yesterday. When she comes home, you know what she says? I love you. How's your day? I said, I love you too. If you've been separated from the Lord, hear me today. Any division, anything in your life that you feel that is blocking you from the love of God, experiencing it like it's there. He's wanting to tell you this morning, I love you. I love you. He told Ephesus three things here, and I won't be much longer. He told Ephesus, And these are the keys. Hear me, listen. Give me your attention a few more minutes. These are the keys to rekindling your love for Christ. Jesus tells through John, He tells them, first of all, He says in verse 5, remember where you fell from. He says, remember, friends. Remember the joy. Remember my life, love. And then He goes on to say, repent. Forsaking your first love. From what I understand in Scripture here, when He says repent, He's saying it's becoming sinful. You not being that having that relationship with me is leading to sin. It's leading to discouragement. It's leading you not to cultivate and love me like you should. Repent. And then He goes on to say, He says, repeat that first watch. He was saying, get back to the place when you were swept up in prayer and Bible study and fellowship and witnessing and worship. Get back to it. He goes on to say, He says, remember, repent, repeat. But then He says, if you do not do this, I'm going to remove the candlestick. Hear me, because this is vital. You're hearing the Word this morning. And I felt in my spirit this week to tell you, rekindle your love for Christ. Remember. Repent. Repeat. And if you do not, it's going to cause you to be removed. You hear that? He was telling Ephesus, doesn't matter how pretty your candlestick is. You can work hard as you want and polish it all day long. How much light are you putting off? Hear me. But listen. He says, if you do this, if you remember, if you repent, and if you repeat, if you don't, He'll remove. But if you do this, He'll replenish. He said, I'll give you access to the tree of life that was in the garden of paradise. The tree of life. You know what that was? Christ. When you study out Scripture, He is the life. I'll give you access to everything you're looking for. It's right here in Christ. You need joy? Jesus. You need peace? Jesus. If you need any of these things, you need understanding, discernment, direction, love, any of these things, Jesus is the answer. He said, if you do these things, I'm going to replenish your life. Someone here, hear me, from what God has told me, you've left your first love. It's not that you're not laboring. It's not that you're not good. It's not that you're not a wonderful person. It's not that you don't hate evil. But you need to rekindle the relationship that has been allowed to go cold. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet.